name is Jim Boyles, and I'm the co-chair of the council for the Center for Christian Studies. The other co-chair, Carolyn Bowie-Shank, is unable to be here. Her sister died last week in Edmonton. So we've been remembering her and her family in our prayers during the council meeting these last few days. I'd like to acknowledge the guests that we have here today, Michael Thompson, the General Secretary of the Anglican Church of Canada. Where are you, Michael? Back there. And Steve Willey, the Program Coordinator, Education and Leadership Development, United Church, over there. And Don Phillips, the Anglican Bishop of the Diocese of Rupert's Land, here. We may also have representatives of other theological schools in the Anglican and United Church networks, and we welcome you here as well. Following the service in the church, there'll be a reception in the hall this way, and we invite all of you to come and greet the graduates and the companions and enjoy the refreshments. Likewise, an announcement about the washrooms, which are out there and around through the end of the hall. And I'd ask that you turn off your cell phones and not take pictures during the service. There'll be a chance to do that later. And the service is being videotaped. I'd like also to thank Reverend Lyndon Hutchison-Hounsell, the rector of the parish here. Lyndon was a member of the congregation that I served in the 80s in St. George's in Georgetown. And so was Frank Tyrrell, a member of our central council. So I'm grateful to be here and to make those connections again in my own background. So we continue now with the service of celebration.
Though we have come from many directions to gather in this place, we share a common way. Though many roads have brought us here, we are together on the journey. Come, let us celebrate this journey and give thanks for fellow travelers and worship the God who opens for us a way of faithfulness.
We invite you to now join in a hymn, Dust and Ashes Touch Our Face.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Spirit of energy and change, guide our feet through the dust of our ordinary road. Fill our hearts and heads with dreams, and be poured upon us without reserve, that we may find our true home in the journey, and choose with confidence and strength the way that leads to peace and justice on earth. Amen.
A collect for Oscar Romero and for Mary of Nazareth. O God, to follow you is to risk our whole lives. May we share with Mary of Nazareth the risk she took in saying yes to life and bearing Jesus, your son. And with Oscar Romero, the risk he faced in saying no to injustice and bearing witness to your truth. Make us bearers of life and witnesses of hope, that we may transform the world in your image and name. Amen.
The Hebrew scripture this afternoon is read from Joel chapter 2, 23 to 29. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in your God, for God has given the early rain for your vindication and has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the late rain as before. The threshing ground shall be full of grain, the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army, which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Then afterwards I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves in those days, I will pour out my spirit. We will sing Psalm 112, which you will find printed on the sheet, and we will hear it played by Patty once, and we will sing the first verse in French and the second verse in English.
Thank you. reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 7 to 10. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. This is the gospel of Christ.
What is Joel's vision of plenty and transformation?
Visions of rising up and falling down, of pouring out and overflowing. Abundance and plenty from the heart of the one who is gracious and compassionate.
Yet disaster seems pending, threatening like a dark and heavy cloud. Injustice, power and privilege, human rights, basic sustenance and dignity escape too many in the homes and in the nations.
Be renewed. Have courage. Spirit poured out, dreaming dreams, and prophetic new visions shared. Stirrings in the dust reveal unending possibilities for all creation.
For I am is in our midst.
All humanity becoming one faith community.
Can it just be?
That kingdom of heaven near? Really? Where, we might ask? Up there in the clouds? Or right here? In the clouds of the troubled dust that we ourselves stir up when we dare to go out to the edges where injustice has taken hold, pain festers, struggle and brokenness find a home all too often under the thin guise of settled silence. And yet there is a stirring of those within the struggle whose dreams will not be smothered, who in their rage disrupt the silence, and if but just a little raise the dust, which constricts our breathing and we must catch our breath. Our eyes begin to sting with sight and understanding. As the dust becomes unsettled, so do we.
It is our call, this unsettled fear.
Go, we are urged, go. Name those places in need of healing. Be a part of it. Go, touch, and be touched.
And so, equipped with little but our passion, we go.
We join in together. Together we confront injustice, pain, and brokenness. Together, we
In its truth, we allow ourselves to feel its grittiness. No easy fix, no quick remedy. But in that troubled dust, dreams that have held fast take shape. Hope is found in the struggle. The kingdom of heaven near?
Yes.
As close as our commitment.
As near as our knowing.
As real as our rage.
The kingdom of heaven is right here, in the clouds of the troubled dust.
Stirring.
Advocating.
Listening.
Naming.
Accompanying.
Asking.
Storytelling.
Lamenting.
Dreaming.
Loving.
Please join us in singing hymn Lent There Be Light in Common Praise 572.
Thank you.
Last September, as this group of integrating year students started planning for this service, Alice, Vicky, Ingrid, Tracy, and Debbie began to name biblical themes, stories, and images that connected them with the people of God who journeyed before. The image of dust kept swirling into the conversation. The dust of creation, the dust of the desert, the dust from which the poor are raised, the dust of temples destroyed, the dust of mourning and lament, the dust of God's presence in whirlwind and storm, the dust found on the paths traveled by people relegated to the margins of the ancient communities, the dust shaken off sandals, the dust washed lovingly from tired feet, the dust made into the mud of healing. They also learned from our principal, Malan Mabee, that the word diakonia, service, means through the dust. It describes work that has to do with getting dirty, with walking urgently through the hard places to create change, to join in the work of making justice. This journey through the dust is guided by God's vision of abundant life for all, a vision of lion and lamb lying together, of people listening to one another and understanding beyond the confines of language, a vision in which children are not born for calamity, in which no one does harm to another, where there is enough, where all of creation is loved and respected and considered family, where peace and justice are known. Debbie, Tracy, Vicky, Ingrid, and Alice know themselves to be called to journey through the dust, toward this vision, loving the God who beckons them on. They came to the Center for Christian Studies having lived in a number of places in Canada, one also having lived in Papua New Guinea. Their encounter with one another, with people they met on their global perspectives experiences in Peru and in Venezuela, and with people in their field placements in congregations, women's shelters, food banks, community ministries and agencies, and restorative justice programs, has deepened their sense of accountability to the hard places, to the margins. They are marked by the dust of oppression and injustice, by the ashes of despair. And they are marked by faith in a God who leads us through the desert sands, leads us to places of resurrection. They are accompanied by a spiraling cloud of witnesses whose courage, persistence, compassion, and faith sustains them and reminds them who they are. Their journey to this day has not always been easy. They describe themselves as five strong women, with determination being a hallmark for each of them. On returning to our gathering place as they were finishing a planning session, I was greeted with the words, "Don't worry, Anne, we are okay," followed quickly by the question, "Did you hear us?" And just as quickly by singing, "We are one as we seek justice in God's ways." Ingrid, Debbie, Alice, Tracy, and Vicky know how to speak hard truth, to offer a healing word, to support one another through the hard times, to struggle with integrity, to call forth the best in one another, to focus on that which really matters, to laugh and cry together, and to get the job done. They know what it means to create community and to be community. As CCS staff and as their families, friends, mentors, and companions on the journey, we have all witnessed and learned from their growth and their transformation, their deepening confidence, and their commitment to travel paths that lead through the dust to justice and peace. Grounded in faith, they move forward from this place and time with strength and hope. We celebrate with them, and we give thanks to God.
Barbara Barnett, a woman of profound passions and commitment, a pilgrim of deepening consciousness and wisdom, a learner of curiosity and openness, a pastor of warmth and gentle respect, a prophet of tenacious and honest challenge, an educator of openness and imaginative spirit, an organizer indispensable and encouraging, a team player who acts with integrity. Barbara Barnett stands before you today as a most worthy companion of the Center for Christian Studies. Over the years at CCS, she has served on the Volunteer Recruitment and Support Committee, the Development Committee, an Anglican Task Group, a Forward Planning Task Group, a Governance Task Group. She was on a steering committee for a joint training program for the Anglican and youth workers. She has acted as a vocational mentor and resource person at Learning Circles. She's a peer asker for the Endowment Campaign. And she has, even in the past, been on a planning group for this annual service of celebration. And notably, she was co-chair of the Central Council and served on its executive for many years. Those years included some difficult decisions on the finances and future of the center, and Barbara never failed to discern, to question, to offer suggestions and hope. She was always building and supporting relationships. Following education at the Lycée Français de Londres, at the University of Manitoba in Arts, and at St. John's College in Theology, Barbara was ordered as a deacon in 1982, ordained as a priest in 1983, and appointed canon in 1996 by the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Rupert's Land. She holds certification in institutional ministry and in gerontology. These certificates were connected to her professional work as coordinator of spiritual care at Deer Lodge Center, where, during the stress and intensity of chronic and palliative care, she coordinated spiritual care for patients and residents, family and staff, supervised other chaplains and community volunteers, educated students in a variety of field placements and seminars, and coordinated worship and developed a proposal for an enlarged interfaith worship center. Prior to Deer Lodge, Barbara was chaplain at Winnipeg Municipal Hospital, program director for Rupert's Land Respite Care, and chaplain at St. John's College. She's been priest in charge at St. Catharines in Birds Hill, St. Thomas, Winnipeg, St. Stephen's in Winnipeg, and she has served as honorary assistant at St. George's Transcona and St. Peter's in Winnipeg. Barbara has volunteered for the Canadian Association for Pastoral Practice and Education, working as a secretary for the Education Standards Commission, a member of the National Board, president of the local region, and program chair for a national convention. Theologically, Barbara faces questions without faith, about faith, sorry. Good thing I didn't just carry on. Theologically, Barbara faces questions about faith without expecting pat answers. And she knows at a core level of her being that all life is relational and interdependent. She believes that creation and relationships are holy and sacred. Spiritually, Barbara is nurtured through singing, through the arts, through land and its creatures, and through relationships, especially her grandchildren. And she has specialized labyrinth training. She's engaged in learning with Aboriginal elders. Educationally, Barbara takes joy in facilitating the learning of others. She's a creative teacher who readily employs the action-reflection model, and who offers what is uplifting and what is challenging. She really enjoys leading birding and eco-education groups at Fort White Alive. Her engagement and actions for justice are broad: care for children, projects related to housing for people with disabilities, and support for individuals experiencing crises in health. Barbara's life epitomizes justice, from her attention to language, policies, and boundaries, to her dedication to processes that are just and attainable. In confronting conflict, Barbara exercises tact and sensitivity, but doesn't back down if she believes that justice is being thwarted. From planting trees to environmental travel plans, Barbara models her belief in caring for our planet, and through the music of Carolyn McDade, Barbara has been a pivotal member of the Sacred Web Society, which promotes eco-awareness. Barbara is known and valued for her leadership and extraordinary companioning of the center, its students, staff, and circles of friends and supporters. We believe that both her personal and professional life honor CCS and epitomize the ideals of the center. Her example encourages us to be part of the world, seeing it as it is and as it can be. Barbara Barnett, it is a delight to name you Companion of the Center for Christian Studies.
Charlotte Caron is known widely for her gifts and skills as a teacher, writer, and administrator, for her service as congregational minister in BC and conference staff in Saskatchewan, as an ordained minister, and for her leadership as a professor, dean, and co-president at St. Andrew's College in Saskatoon. To the CCS community, however, we know her as a diaconal minister, a wise elder, and a friend in every way of the Center for Christian Studies. I asked for the privilege of making this citation because Charlotte had such a significant influence on my decision to accept the position of principal of the Center for Christian Studies, more than she knows. Almost a year ago, next month, I flew from Toronto to Winnipeg for 2 days of interviewing, feeling quite ambivalent about taking on the Center for Christian Studies and uprooting myself from home and family so close to reaching retirement. But in the circumstance and rotation of things, Charlotte was the first person I spoke to in this schedule of interviewing. She greeted me in her office with a wide smile, with dancing eyes, and great intelligence and warmth. I remember her calm assurance that CCS was on solid ground after a period of transition, and that the job, though complex and intense, was doable. When I actually became principal and one of my first travel duties was to visit Sorrento in British Columbia, I attended the beautiful Church of St. Mary's and began to discover more about Charlotte, that she had served as the pastor of this combined Anglican and United Church. She also served in East Kootenay, Shuswap Lake, and Windermere Lake in British Columbia, carrying a dual identity, as she does so well, as diaconal and ordained, Anglican and United Church. I've always believed that a major charism, or core quality of diaconia, is the willingness to be useful. And Charlotte obviously shared this sentiment, since she realized that she would be more useful in shared Anglican United ministry if she became ordained, an ordained minister. And so she did, but without diminishing in the least her foundational calling and identity as diaconal. Charlotte is a scholar. She graduated with a BA from the University of Winnipeg as a student of distinction. She studied at the Center for Christian Studies in Toronto, earned a Master of Divinity at Vancouver School of Theology, and won a doctorate in Women's Studies at the Union Institute. She has written and taught with distinction, earning the Laura Jameson Prize for a nonfiction book, Advancing Understanding of Women's Experience, with the imaginative title of Not All Violins, Spiritual Resources for Women with Disabilities and Chronic Illnesses.
She earned a McGeechee Scholarship, a prize from the Crossroads Press for Outstanding Scholarship Women's Studies for her book To Make and Make Again. She wrote Eager for Worship, Theologies, Practices, and Perspectives on Worship in the United Church of Canada. I found myself wondering whether the Anglican counterpart would be subdued for worship. She contributed a chapter on diversity and ambiguity in the United Church of Canada, A History, edited by Don Schweitzer. Charlotte is also a poet, with contributions in Measured Words, an anthology, and Measured Words, Second Helpings. Indeed, more than one of her nominators for this award referred to her brilliance. It's a good description, denoting not only her excellence as a scholar, researcher, and teacher, and writer, but also the shining way she has of sharing her knowledge, lyrically, imaginatively, invitingly. It truly sparkles. Charlotte took the Lydia Grucci Chair at St. Andrew's College, Saskatoon, where she influenced a generation of students with her clear and principled feminist perspective. She is a skilled administrator. She served at St. Andrew's College as co-president, modeling shared leadership. One of her nominators said, as a public administrator, Charlotte contributed steady wisdom, and all of us benefited. But above all, Charlotte is a friend of the Center for Christian Studies. Another of her nominators said that there are only two things she hasn't done for CCS, serving as co-chair or as treasurer. I was astonished when I learned that she had carried the role of acting principal without salary over a period of months, during the principal's sick leave at that time, and while things got sorted out for her appointment as acting principal with pay, I will assure you. When CCS needed someone at the helm, quote, she was asked and she said yes, and her leadership brought stability in a great time of transition, unquote. It sounds almost biblical, doesn't it? Especially as the church remembers today Mary of Nazareth, who also said yes, without fully knowing what she was getting in for. While in the role of acting principal, she wasn't just a caretaker, but put enormous energy into straightening things out and wrestling difficult, sometimes tedious tasks to the ground. She inspired hard work because she gave it herself, but carefully set boundaries that did not exceed the 3 days for which she was contracted. She was not a martyr, but she had qualities like one I would like to mention. The church calendar also remembers Oscar Romero, whose feast day was yesterday, March the 24th. Among other things, he was a church leader and administrator who grew into much more and became a courageous witness of the values of God's reign in a time and place of oppression and violence. Charlotte has also been a church leader and administrator who has witnessed courageously to the values of God's reign. She has acted with integrity and asked the hard questions, paying heed to the values stated of the Center for Christian Studies, of education, theology, and justice. She has exemplified what we say we're about. We often speak of the values of justice and inclusivity, yet putting these into practice is more than just an act of good intention. Including others calls for respect, patience, and an ability to be generous towards those whose opinions and perspectives may not be our own. This is the kind of witness our world needs, and the kind that Charlotte has given. I'd like to end with the words of one of her nominators who can't be with us today, Barbara Janes. In the midst of institutional chaos and crisis, Charlotte offered calm and steady hope, freely, capably, consistently. Her understanding of organizational structures and workings, coupled with her strength as a theological educator and pastor, offered the center staff and communities ways through difficult water, ways that are gracious, justice-loving, hospitable, and wise. Her ministry in congregations, in teaching, in writing, in academia, in organizational transformation, brings honor to the center from which she graduated, and brings honor to the center in its renewed life here in Winnipeg. Congratulations, Charlotte. It gives me great honor to recognize you as a companion of the Center for Christian Studies.
The service for the ordination of a deacon in the Anglican Book of Alternative Services calls the ordinand to a special ministry of servanthood. The bishop, in the address to the ordinand, describes the responsibilities of a deacon. The first time I heard them, certain words leapt out at me. You are to interpret to the church the needs, concerns, and hopes of the world. And at all times, your life and teaching are to show Christ's people that in serving the helpless, they are serving Christ himself. At services of celebration like this one, over the past number of years, I've been deeply moved by the open, creative, and passionate ways in which graduates express their calling and the depth to which their faith is embodied in their life and ministry, and this afternoon was no exception. As a mentor and as a resource person for learning circles, I've had the privilege of seeing the integrity and the honesty with which students and teachers engage in their learning. Once again, yesterday evening, I read the credos written by this year's graduates, and I was moved once again. I know those credos emerged from the deep inner work of each graduate, her theological reflection, as she has worked to discern the work of the Spirit in her life and in the world. It was a graduate of Anglican Women's Training College and a former director of field education at CCS who taught me those skills of theological reflection. Ruth Pogson became director of field education at St. John's College when I began my theological education. She was rigorous and gently insistent in requiring us to learn, to reflect, and to integrate. and it was at her ordination to the diaconate that I heard the address to a deacon for the first time. I was ordered to the diaconate at the beginning of my year of chaplaincy residency at Health Sciences Center. James Strachan, my supervisor, invited, encouraged, challenged, goaded me to ground my theological reflection and my work in that responsibility to serve and to interpret the needs of the world as that I was in to the church. They were two significant formative influences that took root, deep root, in my being. This is the kind of theological education that matters. It's significant. It engages the whole person in the world in which we live. Center for Christian Studies embodies for me the very best of what churches have to offer as they educate women and men for the church that is becoming rather than the church of the past. Today's graduates are the latest in a long succession of women and men who've embraced the heart of diaconia and who continue to interpret faithfully the needs, concerns, and hopes of the world to a church who does not always want to either listen or to care. I'm honored to be named Companion of Center for Christian Studies.
Like Barbara, I am honored to be here today, becoming a companion of the center. What does it mean to be a companion? As with most things in life, I think it's a two-sided coin. For me, it's a mix of gratitude and commitment. Gratitude. There is pleasure in being honored as someone of value to the Center for Christian Studies. I have given a lot of time and energy to the center over the past number of years, and I appreciate having that respected in this and many other ways. I am thankful for friendships, for companionship with the CCS staff, with the volunteers that I have worked with over the years, and for the many personal friends who are here today for this celebration. I'm also grateful for my own education at the Center for Christian Studies. 40 years ago, I graduated. My education at the center taught me how to do analysis of systems, how to teach, and how to be a leader. It sowed the seeds that led to my vocation as a teacher, as a writer in theology, and as a feminist. Commitments. To be a companion means to be in relationship. And so, in accepting this honor, I am also obligated to continue to be in relationship with the Center for Christian Studies. As one who is a friend, a donor, and as one who prays for the students, the staff, and the work of the Center for Christian Studies. To be a companion also means committing to the goals of the center, whose mission statement says, "The mission of the Center for Christian Studies is to educate women and men for ministry that will transform the church and the world toward wholeness, justice, and compassion." And so to be a companion is to continue in the quest for transformation of the church and the world
towards wholeness, justice, and compassion. With friends and companions, this is my hope. Gratitude and commitment. Companionship. May we all be companions as we continue in the work of transformation towards wholeness, justice, and compassion.
You're now invited to make an offering, to participate in an offering, which will go toward the educational ministry of the Center for Christian Studies. If you wish, you may use the envelopes provided.
I invite you to join your hearts with mine in prayer. Gracious God, you call us from a life of self-serving into the life of self-giving. We bring these gifts this day, and we offer ourselves, all that we have been, all that we are, and all that we shall become, resolving to walk in your way, that the world may become your new community. Amen.
I invite you to respond with the words printed in the bulletin through dust accompanying us whenever I say God of hope. Let us pray.
Loving God, we give thanks for the precious gift of life. We give thanks for the many ways in which you are revealed to us, in the brilliant sunshine and in the cover of clouds, in the shadows of the evening and in the first glimpse of color as the dawn emerges from the night, in the tender caress of the warm breezes and in the chilling blasts of cold wind, in community and in solitude. You call us to seek your presence on well-traveled roads and on dusty paths. Born of dust, returning to dust, we are a people marked by dust and ashes. God of hope, through the dust, accompany us. In the midst of this Lenten season, we observe a day of celebration, giving thanks for journeys now complete, for journeys about to begin. We give thanks this day that by your grace we are formed as a community gathered here and extending far beyond these walls. The community that is the Center for Christian Studies. In particular today, we give thanks for Vicky, Debbie, Alice, Tracy, and Ingrid as they celebrate their graduation. For Barbara and Charlotte, the companions we have recognized and by whose witness we are strengthened. For all of our students as they open themselves to learning and risking the journey through the dust. For the staff team and for members of the Central Council and its committees as they strive to offer leadership that holds fast to your vision of justice and peace. For the Anglican Church of Canada and the United Church of Canada. And for the many volunteers and supporters whose contributions make the ministry of CCS possible. In our celebration and in our efforts to be a people guided by your vision, God of hope, through the dust, accompany us. We offer prayers of concern for the various communities from which we have come. We pray for people across our country whose lives are unsettled by harsh economic realities, by changes in weather patterns, by confidence shaken as traditions, customs, and institutions, once taken for granted, are questioned, set aside, eroded. As we seek to bring a word of hope and healing, God of hope, through the dust, accompany us. We pray for all who have suffered irreparable loss, who live in fear, in grief, in disbelief, in despair. We name them now in silence or aloud. May they know the comfort of your loving embrace. God of hope, through the dust, accompany us. God, you call us forth in a myriad of ways to give expression to your spirit of love, of justice, of peace. May we be open to recognize the gentle nudge, the sudden pull, the quiet whisper, the noisy clamoring, and may we have the courage to respond in faith. Loving God, through the dust, accompany us. Amen. Let's join together once again in song as we sing from Common Praise or in your insert, number 575, Streams of Living Justice.
May the God who dances in creation, who embraces us with human love, who shakes our lives like thunder, bless us and drive us out with power to fill the world with her justice and love. Amen. Please join in the final hymn, Lead On, O Cloud of Presence, 421. The words are in your insert. Thank you.